You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, how are you?
I am good. We are in Disneyland recovery mode today. So yesterday was Bear's fifth birthday, and so we made our first trip to Disneyland. And I thought we were going to make it to like 3, 4 with several young kids. We made it to 7:30.
Good heavens.
And everybody had the best time, but today we're all recovering. So that's what we're up to. How's your day going?
Oh, it's going great. It's a beautiful late autumn day in North Carolina, and I'm loving it. This is one of my favorite times of the year. So great time.
Yeah, so beautiful. Well, so Dad, this week we have a very special guest. Would you introduce Randy?
Oh, we have a great guest today. We have Randy Boitz is on this podcast with us today. Randy is just a dear, dear friend. We have been friends for, I think, 41 years. We met in Fort Worth, Texas in the early years of our adulthood. Randy has a degree in accounting from Texas Christian University and has been in public and financial accounting throughout his career. His last job before he moved into kind of semi-retirement was he was a managing director with Capital Analytics in Dallas, Texas. His wife Teresa is one of Janet's and my dearest friends. Their four kids and our kids grew up together. So Randy is also a founding board member of Leadership Edge and currently serves as the chairman of the board of Leadership Edge. He's also a long-term member of his church in Fort Worth and has been a lay leader in many different roles in the church. So he's just a good man and friend and brother, and I am super glad to have him with us today.
Yeah, Randy, thank you so much for making time to do this.
Oh, it's been great to join you guys, and a real honor. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, us too. Well, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from you guys, and so is Adam, my husband. I think it's rare for people, and probably especially men, to have friendships that are as long and as deep as yours. And so our topic today is a long friendship in the same direction. Dad, would you explain to us what that means to have a long friendship in the same direction?
Well, I think it means this. As I mentioned earlier, Randy and I, by God's grace, have been friends for 41 years. And during that 41 years, we've gone through a lot of life together. You know, early marriage, first houses, first kids, second kids, early jobs, later jobs. We've just gone through a lot of life together, but we've gone through it in the same direction. We're both Christians. We both believe the same things about the Lord and about the faith and about what God calls us to. And so we've been through a lot of different seasons of life together, but it's all been in the same direction as two men who are wrestling to figure out what does it mean to, by God's grace, step forward as God's men and our spheres of influence to serve God's purposes for God's glory. So that's what we'll be talking a little bit about today.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to dig into this. I think it's such an important topic because, you know, we're living in a time when so many people struggle with feeling isolated and seem to really crave meaningful connections with other people. And yet, I think there's so much confusion in culture about what a healthy friendship looks like. And even among Christians, it seems to me like many of us, I'll speak for myself, aren't always clear on what God-honoring friendships look like. I know that I've grappled with this, and I think a lot of other people are too. So thanks for sharing with us today. And Randy, I wanted to say, you're from Kansas. And so as a Midwesterner and a man, I know you are not, a real big, like, super talking about a lot of feelings. So we'll try to keep this, a focused conversation. But if at the end you want to have like a soliloquy on your feelings, that's fine too.
You can just let us know.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that freedom, Laura.
Okay. Okay. So, Randy, would you give the background of how you and Dad got to know each other?
Yes. No, I would be glad to, because that really was a significant point for Teresa and I. We had been married about a year. I was just finishing up accounting degree there at TCU. Mm-hmm. We were going to go back to Kansas. We weren't going to stay in Texas. We moved down to Texas, to Fort Worth, to go to school there at TCU. And we're planning on going back, but at the last minute decided to take a job there in Fort Worth and stayed. And we had both grown up in church, but we really hadn't done much, you know, with our spiritual lives during the first year we were married. We weren't going to stay. We didn't put down any roots. We didn't find a church. And so when we decided to stay, we thought we ought to find a church. And we visited some large, large churches, which we really didn't connect with. But then Teresa, my wife, this is in the summer of 77, I guess, was at a public pool, and Janet had come with some friends. They were part of a church that was just getting planted in, I guess, the spring of 78. And they went to the pool with the intention of just trying to meet someone that they could connect with and invite to church. And they met Teresa. They hit it off, and Teresa came home and announced that she had accepted an invitation for both of us to go to a picnic in church with some strangers. And I wasn't particularly impressed by that, that she chose to include me in that. But that was the start of a relationship that really has lasted through the decades. You know, it was through Hope there in the Fort Worth Church that John and Janet were part of, that they included us in, where Teresa and I really grew up, experience. And as people, as what does it mean to be a Christian as an adult? And so John and I are very different people, but as he said, we, you know, through some shared vision and values over the years, and just really John's intentionality with me. You know, we didn't connect on athletics or accounting. I was an accounting major.
Because you played basketball in college, right?
We did. That's what took us down there. And so I had relationships, you know, and friends at all those levels, but none were really as intentional with with me as a young man and with us as a couple. And I really am grateful for God's graciousness in getting it started like that in Fort Worth.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Okay, so, and Dad, I remember one time that I asked you about your relationship with Randy and when it was that you guys had become such close friends, because I knew, you know, that background. But I was surprised when you said that it was well over a decade into your friendship when our family moved to North Carolina, right?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. I knew that you were planning to ask me about that.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think, what was I thinking when I said that? But I think what I meant by that was when our family and the Boyts, Randy's family, lived in Fort Worth and were both going to Hope Community Church, we would be kind of in and out of each other's lives at different times, different seasons, different things going on. As Randy said, I'm not a particularly sports kind of guy, so we didn't like play golf together or play basketball together. That would have been comical. And so it was kind of in the days we were in Fort Worth that we would just, there was a baseline friendship for sure.
Yeah.
But we would kind of move in and out of seasons of a lot of interaction or not. But when we started Leadership Edge in 1993, and when Randy was so kind to become a founding board member for Leadership Edge, and in a sense, that gave us something to do together.
Yeah.
That was like us playing golf or us doing something together. And I think that from my perspective, God just galvanized our friendship because of our common commitment to get Leadership Edge off the ground.
Yeah.
And then to continue to do the work God has for us through Leadership Edge over these last 26 years. So Yeah. That's my recollection of it. Yeah. I think that a lot of times in men's friendships, there has to be something that they're working on.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it was really around Leadership Edge that God isolated something for Randy and me to work on together.
Yeah, well, and I think that's really helpful because I believe that at the time that I asked you about your friendship, it was at a season maybe where I was in transition and was feeling kind of isolated and was trying to figure out, you know, how to like build strong friendships. Mm-hmm. And so I think it can be easy, especially when you feel a need for deep friendship, to kind of be really focused on like developing friendships, and that's the focus. But I think one thing that's helpful about what you're saying is you guys weren't just sitting around like focusing on friendship or like even getting coffee and just like talking about stuff. It was as you were both, you know, moving forward in things God had called you to do, that that's what really deepened the relationship. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And again, with friendships among men, I think that because a lot of times men just get so kind of head to the grindstone and just are focused on kind of getting through each day, that a lot of times it's hard for them to build friendships because they don't, in a sense, provide time for it, but they also don't have something that they and another guy come around to accomplish together that they feel that God's called both of them to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, and we'll get into more specifics, but something I wanted to ask you, Dad, like in a nutshell, how would you say that you've been impacted by your friendship with Randy?
Well, okay, here's early John and Randy.
Okay.
Early John and Randy. Randy at that time is a public accountant. And I am, you know, a husband and father and the owner of a very small service business. And so every year when it was time for Randy to do our taxes, I would show up in his office with grocery bags of receipts and just pieces of paper and, you know, what I thought was a spreadsheet. And Randy was like, I don't know how you could think this is a spreadsheet. And I think that what Randy did in those years was he could have just thought, John, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, John, I don't even know why you come with all these bags of stuff. But he would sit there and patiently go through all the stuff in the bag, figure out if any of it was relevant or not, and treat me as respectfully as if I was one of the top clients of the business. And I think it's been that kind of friendship where I have strengths that Randy isn't strong in. He's got tons of strengths that I'm not strong in. And we've learned how to bring those together to, I think, support, encourage, help each other through the years.
Yeah.
And especially through some of the decades that are just really tough. You know, your 30s and 40s. And sometimes into your 50s are pretty tough decades. But Randy, I'm doing all the talking here. What are you thinking about this?
Right.
How do you remember my bags of receipts?
Well, bags of receipts and Dome monthly record books. Yes. That's what I remember. But,
it was
But it was good to, you know, as you mentioned, to have something to connect with. And when Leadership Edge started, you know, as a CPA, around a nonprofit, you've got a built-in role there because they need help, you know, with that. And again, that was one of our distinctions on enjoying accounting and not enjoying accounting on your side. But it was a way to serve, a way to help, you know, someone that that you considered a friend, and it was a way to kind of demonstrate that, and as John said, you know, something to be hitting in the same direction with.
Yeah.
And along with that, I really was I really was engaged with and committed to the vision that John had put out for Leadership Edge. At that time. So it's something that I wanted to do. But again, John, just really setting the example for me on what a leader looked like as I watched him with his business and with Janet and then with Leadership Edge as it came through. And I think the example in presenting himself without pretense to me, that you could be strong and moving in a direction without having to put up pretenses. And I think in some ways I said before, just about being very intentional about leadership. And as much as anything, just asking me some questions about what was happening in life, what was happening with Teresa, you know, what was happening in some of these areas of life that I needed to be aware of and to be thoughtful around. How am I leading in those areas? So I don't recall it as being lectures or training times. It was more asking questions and having another man who seriously was interested in understanding what was going on with me and was willing to be open enough with me to see what was going on with him.
Yeah, that's neat. And it sounds like what you guys are both saying is neither of you was trying to impress the other, you know, like you are able to kind of accept each other as you are, despite your differences. That's, that's neat. Yeah. So, Dad, in chapter 9 of your book, Leadership as a Lifestyle, you talk about friendship. And so I have some questions for both of you related to that. So this isn't a plug for the book, but if you listeners are interested in purchasing it, it can be purchased on Amazon. But so now I have a few questions for both of you related to chapter 9. So the first section that we'll talk about is a section called The Daily Need for Encouragement. And so Dad talks about how God-honoring friendships help us in the following ways. And I'm going to go through these kind of slowly so people can kind of take a mental note. So the first is to choose against compromise, then to remember the vision, to join together, to see reality as it is, to take a break, to fully engage, and to choose honor and wisdom, not expediency and foolishness. And so I wanted to ask you both to share, but Randy, let's start with you. Can you share an example of one way that you've experienced this in friendship?
Well, again, over the period of time that we've known each other, it could be a list of those on that that hit several of those topics. But I think a couple of them, and maybe it's in seeing reality and choosing wisdom, came across, you know, a situation several years ago that was really a particularly hard time for me in feeling like I had been misunderstood in some situations, my motives and leadership questioned, and there weren't a lot of people that I had to turn to. And so having a long-term relationship with a man who knew where I came from, knew who I was, I didn't have to provide a lot of background. I could approach John with the situation and get his input and get a perspective outside of myself. Again, I don't do very well just bouncing around ideas inside my own head. And coming up with God honoring, you know, ways to approach life. But John's knowledge not only of who I was, but where I'd come from, what was in my heart. And not just in my head, and giving some perspective on a situation, helping me see what reality is, and helping me, again, not in an instructing way, but just in asking some questions, clarifying what was going on, that really helped me stay within some boundaries, go through that situation in a way that, God-honoring, was reflective of what the reality was, because I had some help with perspective on that. And choosing wisdom through that was, it was very key. And again, at a point in life where there weren't a lot of people that had the background to help me through that. It was very key.
Yeah. And so, just to make sure I'm understanding this clearly, this is a great example. So you said that he helped you to see reality, but it wasn't through like teaching you? Was it asking good questions that helped you to think it through? Is that part of what, I mean, I'm sure it was many things, but how did that happen?
Well, I think, you know, part of it is asking some good questions. Part of it is sharing, as I share, sharing some things that that he had gone through, that he could identify with what was going on. And part of it was just being in relationship, whether sitting across the table or being on a phone call with a man that I knew his life, I had seen how he had gone through things, and just that reminder and picture in front of me was enough to be a helpful guide to me in just walking through the situation.
Yeah. No, that's great. And it sounds like also, like, I mean, it seems like several of these kind of came into play in this situation, but also just that, like, the encouragement of, having someone else who you're walking through it with.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Dad, can you share an example?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think in a friendship like mine and Randy's, and again, this is for me, I don't know if Randy would say this, but I think when you've been as friends as long as we have and you've gone through so many parts of life together as we have, then I always say that Randy is kind of Yoda-esque in the sense that
elaborate.
I don't have to be with him, and it may be weeks or months since I've talked to him, but I hear his voice. And what I mean by that is I know what he would say. I know how he has lived. I know what he would say to me in this situation, or what he has said to me in the past. And I think that one of the residual effects of a long-term friendship in the same direction is even when you're not together, there's still just guidance that comes to you from the knowledge you have of the other person. So, you know, with this list, the thing about to choose against compromise, you know, I can say without a doubt, I have never in my life ever seen Randy compromise. And I don't mean that he's not sinful. I mean, I'm sure he's sinful, but he's just a man who doesn't compromise himself. And I've seen him make some really sacrificial decisions to not compromise himself. And so he's been a great reminder to me in that, in terms of to remember the vision. With Leadership Edge, a few years ago, we were going through a revisioning process, and Randy was one of the people who was just insistent that we remember what was it that God called us to do at the beginning. And however we adjust things now, we've got to remember the originating vision of Leadership Edge. And and then just the last one is the to choose honor and wisdom over expediency and foolishness. That's the man that I've known Randy to be. And so when I think of his example, it reminds me that I need to choose what's honorable. I need to choose what's wise. I don't want to go down the wrong path. And I think just one last thing is you could hear us talk, Laura, and almost think that we see each other as kind of paragons of virtue. And I think we do see different strengths in each other's life, but I think we also understand the deep need that each of us have for Jesus. And that this isn't one paragon of virtue befriending another. It's two men who desperately need Jesus who have learned how to walk through some of life together.
Well, and so how does that part come into play? Like, yeah, because you're right. Like, as you were talking, the thing I was thinking as well, like, friendship selection is really, really important, because if you don't choose high caliber friends, then that's going to, you know, you're not going to have some of these benefits. But I like what you're saying. I mean, yeah, that's really good that you guys are also realistic about who each other are and pointing each other to God. So, like, how, I guess, can you give an example of how that comes into play?
Well, one thing comes to my mind is Randy and I, just a couple of months ago, were at a Leadership Edge men's gathering in North Carolina. And one evening, since Randy and I were some of the older men there, we were asked to be on kind of a panel of fielding questions from some of the younger men. And, and someone, you know, posed a question to Randy about, I don't know, maybe what's most important that he's learned in life or something like that. And, you know, here's Randy, a guy in his 60s. He's been very successful in his career. He's a very good and honorable man. And he thinks for a little bit, and then he just looks at the guy and he says, "I've learned that life is all grace." Hmm. And that every aspect of life is the grace of God.
Yeah.
And I think it's when you see that and the other, that it just reminds you, it's not about all the stuff, you know, all the gifts, abilities, whatever, the virtue that Randy has. It's that he understands that really every part of life is the grace of God to us, one way or the other. So I think that's how I see it.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And that's such a good distinction that, like, you know, we talked about the daily need for encouragement, but it's not just encouraging each other to, like, live moral lives or make good choices. But yeah, like, encouragement in remembering, like, our identity in Christ and, like, our desperate need for God. That's really helpful. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that. And okay, so let's move on. Oh my goodness, there's like so many things I want to ask you, and we're already like hitting some time limits. Okay, so let's move on. In the next section, you talked about some of the ways that we can invest in our friendship. So this is back to chapter 9. And so a few of the investments that you talk about are the investment of time, investment of thought, investment of vulnerability and honesty, investment of resources, and investment of large-heartedness. And I think it'll be helpful just to hear some practical examples of, like, how this can happen in our friendship. So, Randy, would you go first again? How have you experienced this?
Well, I think as we started talking out, you know, I think as men, it is helpful to have something working on together, and I think Leadership Edge provided that. So the investment of time really went up when Leadership Edge, you know, was started. And we are working towards, you know, the same goals. We are working on some things together. So I think the investment of time and other resources, you know, around an activity like that. But then we, you know, we have chosen to travel on some vacations together. It's great that our wives are great friends. And so that's certainly helpful with that part of things. And so I think the that, and then the investment of, again, the vulnerability and honesty that, you know, on the phone calls, a lot of times, you know, we'll start out the just personal catch-up. Even we have business to discuss, you know, John makes it a priority to make sure there's some personal catch-up time. And again, his being encouraged by his vulnerability on what's going on, and that is an encouragement to hear that. So, the large-heartedness, I think, has been mostly on John's part, putting up with me, but I've certainly appreciated it.
That's really good. Yeah, Deb, what about you?
I think for me, I mean, Randy definitely has checked all of these boxes a zillion times. The time that he has given to Leadership Edge and to me personally, I, you know, can't thank him enough. Because Leadership Edge is based now in North Carolina, I don't know how many times Randy has flown to the Raleigh-Durham Airport, and now, you know, to the San Francisco Airport when we have stuff going on in the Bay Area. And that's time, that's money, that's energy. And though his life, you know, in kind of more of a semi-retirement stage that he's in now is easier, a lot of that was in the years where his job was just tremendously demanding and long hours, lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and still in the midst of that, he would sacrifice to be involved, to give to Leadership Edge, to fly to North Carolina, to just, you know, fully give himself. And so yeah. both on a personal level and on an organizational level, you know, Randy's done all of these things.
Yeah.
And you know, I've always said that Leadership Edge would not still be around, and I would probably be in jail if it hadn't been for Randy. And so that's, yeah. So anyhow.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, and I know, I mean, Adam has said many times, like, one of the very best parts of the gatherings is always, like, when you and Randy are kind of both sharing or hearing Randy share on panel things. So, yeah. I mean, his fingerprints are kind of all over Leadership Edge.
Everywhere.
It's, yeah. Okay. The last section of the chapter talks about long-term effects of great friendship that are, and this is a quote, this is a pretty strong statement, stronger than time, distance, or death. And so in the book, Dad, you said that some long-term impacts of great friendship are the message to your children and the compounding benefits in your own life. And so I just wanted to see if you could unpackage that some, and both of you give some practical examples of how you've seen that to be true.
Yeah, I'll go first on that. I think
okay.
that the thing about is stronger than time, distance, or death. I think that in mine and Randy's friendship, 41 years is a lot of time.
Yeah.
And about half of that, we've lived halfway across the country from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen in our friendship that both time and distance don't by nature have to destroy or, you know, erode a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
That friendship can be stronger than both of those. And when I said stronger than death, what I meant by that is I've had one really close friend in my life die when he and I were both around 40.
And that's what you're talking about in the book, right?
Yeah, and that's what I write about in the book. And I have seen that even with my friend whose name was John, his death, that the benefit of that friendship continues to have impact in my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I remember the kind of man he was, the kind of friendship we had,
mm-hmm.
how the Lord developed me through mm-hmm. the friendship. So, yeah, stronger than time, stronger than distance, and even stronger than death, I think friendships can be. I think the thing with your kids is just, you know, when you're raising your kids, you're all about their friends, and that they need to have friends, and they need to have good friends, and you want to help them learn how to be discerning with their friendships. And it's just, and sometimes I've wondered what it would be like, especially for us fathers, if our little children were to turn around and say, well, tell me about your friendships. Because it's easy for us to be all about how they need friends, mm-hmm. but it's important for us to model that to them in our friendships, to where they see the kind of friendships that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important as well. And then just the compounding benefits is just, Randy's already gotten to this, but just having the wealth of knowledge that you have on someone for decades really, really helps you to be a good friend to them and to receive a great friendship back from them. So those are just couple of thoughts that come to my mind. Randy, I wrote that section of the book. You didn't. But any, so I don't mean that you have any particular insights on that, but you may have some great ones. So any thoughts on any of that?
Well, I did have the benefit of seeing my dad and mom really intentionally maintain friendships over a long period of time and with friends that moved away to different parts of the country. So I really benefited from that example. But I do agree that there's just a strength, there's a security, there's kind of an ability to relax that comes with knowing when you sit down with someone, whether you've seen them or talked to them for a while, that you don't have to explain where you came from, you don't have to explain how many kids you have. And I've got a lot of good friends now that don't remember that I have kids, or they never knew my kids. They don't have kids. They didn't know my kids. They're great friends, but it's not the kind of strength and stability and perspective that you can have immediately when you sit down like that. You know, I think of Proverbs 18:24 comes to mind a lot of times. It says, "A man of many friends may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Hmm. And having someone who knows me well enough to say, "Brother, you're about to step into a hole," is a great, great strength to have, a great asset to have. And there are not going to be a lot of those relationships that are that close, but you do need some of them.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Well, and that kind of leads into the last thing that I wanted to ask you. Like, what would you say, and Randy, I'd be interested to hear from you on this. What would you say to a person who's listening to this podcast and wants to develop strong, God-honoring relationships but doesn't have them? What would you encourage them to do?
I think one is again, just get started. Be intentional. I've had some folks just be very intentional with me. Mm-hmm. On we're going to do the kind of things that friends do, and they've done that with mm-hmm. me. I think one of the biggest things too is just choose up front to set aside pretense and posturing and trying to impress. Yeah. And choose to be a good friend to people. Mm-hmm. And I think the result of that is going to be a good friendship, you know, being returned to you. Yeah. And again, it's long-term, it's worth the effort to do that, I would say.
Yeah. Dad, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, I just emphasize what Randy just said about really the way you have great friends is you learn to be a great friend. Mm. And it doesn't mean that everyone that you are trying to be a great friend, that they're going to reciprocate.
Yeah.
But I found that the only way I know to build great friendships is just to purposefully, ongoingly commit to be a great friend. Hmm. And that's how it happens.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Okay, I think I have a couple of takeaways. Like, one is what you just said, Dad, of, focusing on, like, me being a good friend, you know? And so looking for ways to serve my friends or, like, remember the things that they've mentioned and following up on things like that. And then, Randy, with what you were saying of just not posturing, just being willing to be real and maybe even be real, you know, share honestly first about what's going on. I think those are both really good insights. But thanks to both of you for sharing. This is really helpful and I think will probably be helpful to other people. So, Randy, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet.
And one last detail I should mention. Listeners, thanks for joining us today. We will be taking a break for Christmas and the New Year's holidays, and our next episode will be released on January 15th. So, wanted to make you aware of that. Dad, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, just a couple of things before we sign off. One is this podcast that you're listening to right now is being released on December 1st. Who knows when you're listening to it, but it is being released on December 1st. And at Leadership Edge, we are a nonprofit organization, and we're heavily dependent on end-of-year donations to help us to make it through each year. And so if you're listening to this in December of 2019 and would like to make an online donation to Leadership Edge, you can do that at our website, which is www.lead-edge.com or lead-edge.com, and just look at the top of the page on the right, and there's a donate button, and you can make a donation there. And if you're listening to this sometime in 2020, you can still make a donation.
So we are not too late.
Super glad to receive your donations. And we very much need them. We are needing a very significant amount of new money to come into Leadership Edge for us to be able to continue on in the path that we're in. So we'd appreciate your prayers about that and your financial support. then just want to remind you that the personal vision statement of Leadership Edge is to, by God's grace, step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And if you're listening to this at Christmas time, I hope that you'll see the connection between the birth of Christ, Him coming in humanity to become our Savior and Lord, that will be a part to galvanize you to even more so at the end of this year and throughout 2020 to, by God's grace, step forward as God's man or woman in your spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. So always remember that the prayerful investment in the life of a young leader is one way that God's given you to change the world. We appreciate you being a part of the podcast in 2019 and look forward to continuing with you in 2020. God bless.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.